Upfront, inside Atlanta's entertainment industry, is brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK.
Coming up on this week's show, Upfront talks to executive producer of the Apollo Theater, Camila Forbes, about an exciting Atlanta event that is taking place on October 22nd. Upfront also catches up with award-winning actor David Oyelowo during the recent Bronze Lens Film Festival. He talked about his new film, Don't Let Go. And CAU alumnus Jonnell Young is here to chat about his role in the new Hulu series, Wu-Tang, An American Saga. We'll also be playing jazz covers of the King of Pop, Michael Jackson, who would have turned 61 years old this past Thursday. But first, here's Reva Blue with this week's casting buzz and entertainment news.
All right, Mr. DeMille, I'm ready for my close-up.
BET's hit series, American Soul, is now casting extras for its second season. The series is looking for actors with period cars from the 1950s to the 1970s. Filming will take place September through November. American Soul is set in 1975 and follows the career of Soul Train creator and black music icon Don Cornelius. Please submit to hiltoncasting.com/amsoperiodcars. That's this week's Casting Buzz and Entertainment News. I'm Reva Blue.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Hammond's House Museum, celebrating artistic excellence, culture, and community by presenting Hammond's House Honors. The event recognizes artists, curators, and arts practitioners who elevate Black visual art. Thursday, September the 12th at 7:30 p.m. at the Southwest Arts Center. Ticket information is available at hammondshouse.org.
Wake up. This is Spike Lee. Listen to my man, Ray Cornelius, up front, 91.9 WCLK.
My first guest is executive producer of the legendary Apollo Theater in Harlem, New York. I'm talking about none other than Camila Forbes. She stopped by this week to chat about an exciting theatrical production that is coming to Atlanta's Symphony Hall on October 22nd.
Camila Forbes, hey. Welcome to Upfront. How are you?
I'm so good. How are you?
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Happy to have you here in the studio.
Well, I am glad to be here in the studio and in Atlanta.
So Nikki calls me and she's like, I've got someone exciting that I want to bring to the station. And I was like, who? And so she said your name and I was like, you've got to be joking. I had just posted some exciting information on my website about something else that you're working on, which we're going to talk about a little bit later.
Right.
But you've got some amazing news that you're bringing to the city of Atlanta. And even before we get into that,
sure,
let's talk about your position as the executive producer at the famed Apollo Theater in New York City.
Yeah, well, you know what? It's a blessed time to be there. I've been at the Apollo for the last 3 years. We're celebrating our 85th year anniversary as an institution. Many people don't know this, but we've been a nonprofit since 2001. So this is a very kind of new space, kind of new venture, if you will, model for the Apollo to continue its legacy around being the epicenter of Black culture, but really stretching what that means is how do we represent the culture, but also how do we not just represent the culture, but push the culture forward. So really what we're focused on is really building a 21st century performing arts institution where Black culture sits at the center, but that focuses on excellence and innovation. And this project that we're bringing to Atlanta is one of those examples.
Did you ever think that you would be working at such a, I mean, because you mentioned Apollo and all of these images come to mind, you know, just the billboard itself is always something that sticks out in my mind. Did you ever think that you'd be working there?
No. You know, it's so funny. When I first moved to New York, I moved to New York in 2001, 2002, and I went to Harlem for the first time because I had to see the Apollo. I had to see the marquee. never once did I ever think I would be working there in this position, but it was always a symbol of, like, arrival. You know what I mean? Like, you know, as artists say, I made it once you hit the Apollo stage. So it's a real blessing to be there. And in my position as a executive producer is really kind of leading and shaping the creative and artistic leadership of the institution and artistic direction of the institution. It's really kind of lovely. Yeah. And it's a blessing. Sure.
So let's talk about this exciting event that you guys are bringing to the city of Atlanta. So much buzz as to what's going on. So I'm going to give you the honors to make this official announcement, if you will.
You got it. So ultimately what we're bringing is we did a stage adaptation of Ta-Nehisi Coates's Between the World and Me, which was a National Book Prize winner, New York Times bestseller several years ago when it was first released. And we adapted it as a theatrical stage production. So many people say, well, what does that mean? Well, ultimately we took the book and built it into an evening of monologues. And worked with a famed jazz musician, Jason Moran, who did the score for Selma, who did the score for the film The 13th, to build a live score with him and a trio that plays along, that ultimately underscores the beautiful language and the words of Ta-Nehisi Coates, who I believe is one of our most brilliant and most prolific writers of our generation.
Mm. And you guys pulled in so many famous faces. That's Common, right. Angela Bassett, Papa Pope, Joe Morton.
That's right. That's
Susan
right.
Kelechi Watson, who's on one of my favorite shows, This Is Us. How were you able to pull those guys in for this?
Well, you know, I mean, I think these were folks who either we worked with or we had a relationship with, or that I had personally worked with, or the Apollo had worked with that we had a relationship with, and really sold them on being a part of a larger conversation. The book is a part of a larger conversation about Black life in America today. It's a part of a larger conversation about police and gun violence in our community. It's an intimate story of a letter from a father to a son. So it was an easy sell. You know, I remember my conversation with Joe Morton, and he was like, I love this book. This is an important book. Sign me up. I'm there no matter what. And he became kind of our anchoring voice in the reading as sort of that father figure. Common, another fan of the book, another fan of Ta-Nehisi and what he's saying and his voice of this generation, and wanted to be a part of the movement, if you will. So, you know, and it was exciting to kind of have them all share their talents. Washington, D.C., we had Black Thought and Legacy when we did it at the Kennedy Center. Yeah. And what was beautiful is that, you know, we created a really beautiful musical moment with them, in addition to a really beautiful musical moment with Common. So, you know, it's we really mix mediums with the work, musically, with text, music, and visuals through projection design.
And so you guys are going to replicate that here in Atlanta. You're bringing this to the Atlanta Symphony Hall, which is, I think is one of the most amazing spaces here in the city. And can you give us, can you kind of tell us who might possibly?
Well, we're still building the cast. And so look forward
to,
I know you had to ask. No, it's important to ask. It's important to ask. And I'm glad, you know, we will have some, you know, really prominent Atlantans. It's important that this work, although it as it comes to Atlanta, feels like it represents the community of Atlanta, right? And so we're going to have some really exciting folks, and I can't wait to make those announcements when we're ready.
Yeah. What's been the feedback from those that have come out to see the show?
Sure. You know, the feedback has been really incredible. I mean, I think it's in, and I've been a little even overwhelmed by the feedback because it was really an opportunity to have this very national conversation that we have in the privacy almost of our homes about, you know, particularly what it means to raise Black children. What are the lessons we need to teach them? Good, bad, and indifferent, right? The celebration, the, you know, make sure you know, and to have it though in a public forum with one another. These are things that you have, conversations that you have intimately with your son, with your daughter, et cetera. But to have it as a community, as a collective community, and not just for African Americans, as a community of Americans, like what does that really mean to uphold our children? What does that really mean to uphold each other? And that's the power of theater, right? Is to share the human condition and human experience in a collective environment, almost like church. So it's really been an overwhelming emotional feedback, I think, at the end of each presentation and performance, of what people walk away with, the kind of emotional catharsis that folks have is a bit overwhelming, but also necessary.
And I think too, as you were talking, I was thinking of something that was said the other day about how anytime you have something on stage, anytime you have a film, you're able to visually see and you can humanize the issues that are going on. So instead of just hearing about something in the news that, oh, that there's, you know, this police brutality, you now have someone with a face. That's you now have someone you can understand how they felt before the incident, during the incident, and after the incident.
Absolutely.
You know, so I think it's important to have those type of visuals and productions.
Absolutely.
As well.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Ta-Nehisi's writing is just so incredibly beautiful, but it's also incredibly packed with dense information about the world and history and why we have arrived and how we've arrived at the place that we've arrived. But when we're able to strip it down and you hear an amazing actor like Angela Bassett interpreting that narrative, interpreting that story, it hits you in a completely different place. Interpreting his beautiful poetry, it hits you in a very kind of different place and a very human place, as you said.
Yeah. Now, in addition to this production, you're also attached to another big production that is coming to Broadway in 2021. Right. Uh-huh. And it's the story of Soul Train.
Yeah.
And so we've seen American Soul on BET, but this really sort of puts you, you know, live and in person, and you're able to see this life come together on stage. So can you tell us a little bit about that as well?
So we're at those super beginning phases. I'm excited about my collaborators, Dominique Morisseau, Camille Brown, and obviously our executive producer, Chris Love. So we're excited to really dive in and get started and shape the thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, when you think about that story and what he was able to do with just a dream, I mean, so many artists received national exposure through this show. And then to be able to see how a dream comes to fruition, I think so many of us have, you know, ideas and dreams and hopes, but to actually see it come to fruition, you know, live and in person is just is amazing. So, wow. Well, thank you so much for being a guest today on Upfront. And we can't wait for that production to come to Atlanta. Our listeners will be able to get more information about that at WCLK.com. Of course, we'll also keep you informed as to who will be casted in the production. And we've also got some special things coming up surrounding this performance that we'll be offering to our listeners later on this year associated with this production. So you got to stick around to Upfront and listen to what's going to come out of that.
Fantastic.
So, yeah. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
Support for WCLK programming comes from Life Lux Jazz, November 7th through the 11th on the beaches of Los Cabos, Mexico. This year's festival lineup includes Incognito, Mesa, Kirk Whalum, Gerald Albright, and more. In addition to the music, there will also be health and wellness activities, a Spirit of Jazz brunch, and Sunset Cruise. Information is available at LifeLuxJazz.com. That's LifeLuxeJazz.com.
Hi, this is Melissa Ingram, General Manager of Aspire TV, and you're listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
Upfront hit the streets recently for the Bronze Lens Film Festival premiere of Don't Let Go. The dramatic thriller features British actor David Oyelowo as Jack Radcliffe, a detective who gets a shocking phone call from his recently murdered niece, Ashley. Working together across time, they race to solve her murder before it can happen. Don't Let Go also stars Storm Reid, Brian Tyree Henry, and Michael T. Williamson. Here's what David had to say about his role.
The fact that it was a little bit different. You know, I'm always looking to defy people's expectations. After I played Dr. King, I got every civil rights script under the planet, under the sun, I should say. And, you know, as much as I loved playing Dr. King in Selma, you know, the idea is to keep things fresh and moving, and Don't Let Go definitely provided that opportunity.
And what was it like playing opposite Storm Reid, who is just this amazing little talent coming out of Atlanta, Georgia? What was it like working with her?
Oh, she's very, very special. I mean, when you see her in this film, she kind of defies logic in relation to what she's able to do. She was actually 14 at the time we shot this. She's now 16. She was at the tail end of being that age. And I just don't know where she got this emotional intelligence from. But it was really a wonderful thing to be around and to act opposite.
Well, congratulations, and thanks so much.
Don't Let Go director and writer Jacob Estes also talked about the inspiration behind the film and more.
The story really has to do with a man who's had this horrible traumatic loss, and he has a prayer or a wish that he could somehow reach through the fabric of space and time and pull his family back from the grave. And he gets that opportunity. And so the inspiration for that comes from, like a lot of us, I've had a number of losses in my life and wished I could somehow, you know, pull those people back into my life somehow. And then on top of that, I nearly died a couple of years ago. And while I was dying, I was saying to myself, your son is too young. You need to stay alive. Don't let go, don't let go. So that became the title of the movie eventually. And that's what the movie's about. Yeah.
Now the film stars two amazing talents, David Oyelowo and Storm Reid. So what sort of went, I guess, into the thought process of casting them in these particular roles?
Well, so the original script was written on a farm in Ohio, out in the boonies. Probably white people, but the movie was to do with family, not identity. And David is such a tremendous actor that I wanted to see what would happen if I submitted him the script. I mean, he's such a good actor that when a couple years ago on Martin Luther King Day, I wanted to post Martin Luther King's photograph on my Instagram page, and I went searching on Google and I found a picture of David, and I thought it was...
For his role in Selma.
Exactly, and he had convinced me, so I posted it, and somebody was like, dude, that's not Martin Luther King, that's David Oyelowo. So I thought, okay, he must be a really good actor. He's convinced me of this reality, right? So luckily, David wanted to do it, and we constructed a family around David, and Storm auditioned, and she was miraculous in her audition. And we just said, yes, this is the way we're going to make the movie.
Thank you, David and Jacob. Don't Let Go is in theaters now.
Support for WCLK programming comes from the Family Health Centers of Georgia, presenting the Toyota Sounds of Good Medicine Concert on Saturday, September 7th at 7 p.m., featuring performances by Dave Koz, Gerald Albright, Rick Braun, and Kenny Lattimore. Ticket information is available at the Mabel House Barnes Amphitheater or at Ticketmaster.com.
Was looking in my mirror. See you running up and through my mind, helpless as a baby, sensual disguise. I can't help but love you. It's getting better all the time.
I'm Niecy Nash.
I'm Karrueche Tran.
And you are listening to Upfront with Ray Cornelius.
My last guest is rising actor Jonnell Young. The CAU Mass Media Arts alumnus is starring as GZA in the highly anticipated Hulu series Wu-Tang: An American Saga, which debuts on Wednesday, September the 4th. Young was super excited to chat about the project, how he secured his role, and much more.
Jonnell Young, welcome to Upfront. How are you?
Great. I'm well.
Yeah?
I'm excited, yeah.
So this has been something in the works for quite some time. I'd say all the way back to maybe 2015, when I think I met you walking down the hallways here at Clark Atlanta University.
2015.
And you were like, Mr. Ray, which I hate when people call me Mr. Ray. But you're like, Mr. Ray, I'm going to be an actor. I'm going to be an actor. And I was like, okay, I've heard that before. And so, you know, you were just so excited about this career in television and film. And I just remember talking to you about, hey, this is going to happen when it's going to happen. Don't rush the process.
I remember that. I remember that conversation clear as
and
day.
And just allow it to flow. Mm-hmm. And here we are, 2019, 4 years later, and you're starring in the Wu-Tang film, An American Saga, that is taking place this week on Hulu. An amazing series that will chronicle the life and times of this amazing hip-hop group. And you're starring as...
The GZA the Genius. greatest lyricist among the clan.
Yeah.
Anybody want beef, they can come, you can meet up in the studio, and I mean.
So before we talk about how you got the role and all that stuff, let's talk about your time here at Clark Atlanta University. Again, you were a student here, basically majoring in mass media arts, or were you a theater major?
No. Actually, I was a basketball major.
Wow.
I did early childhood education just to be able to play basketball, you know? Just to be able to play basketball, I took early childhood education, and then I wound up having to switch my major to, look how God works, wound up having to switch my major to radio, television, and film. So that brought me over here. So I'm around the artists and the creators. At this time, I wasn't playing basketball. I was just like, okay, so I got to find some way to go so I can play basketball. So God just brought me here to this department, actors, directors, producers. So I'm like, damn, okay, I'm around these people. What am I going to do to fit in? You feel me? Like,
now, was that even a passion or a desire? I know. I mean,
acting?
Yeah.
I had left acting alone. I was getting told no too many times as like a 9-year-old. I started when I was 9 with Pootie Tang. I did Pootie Tang. I had callbacks for Shaft and et cetera. But it wasn't going as good as basketball was going at that time. So from 9 to about 24, 25, I left the game alone. All my friends, they kept pursuing it, and they all on TV and stuff. But I was like, I'm going to stick to basketball for now. This is going to work for me. And God had his way of just bringing me to this department. And I found a new passion. I found a new love for it over again. So that's when I came to you like, yo, I'm going to be active, man. My mind is made up.
And so once you graduated, you started doing some smaller things around the city.
Yeah, once I graduated 2016, I had booked my first role, back acting All Eyes on Me. Got cut from the original session, but I booked my first role, and then after that, I booked two films that are on iTunes right now: Shot Clock ATL and Making Moves by Jeff Basil and Rome Williams. So I did little stuff. I've been hustling, grabbing any role I can get. I did a Zaxby's commercial, and then a year or two after that, I booked my first guest star role, which is Tails. So, yeah.
And let's talk about that, because that's Irv Gotti's piece that takes place on BET. And
so the way I got it was kind of funny. I was sitting on my mom's couch, depressed, like, okay, I'm out of school. I'm not really doing nothing. Like, basketball, I just broke my toe. I tried out for the Knicks G League team. I was made to the final cut, but wound up getting cut. So I was like, I need something. I got out of God. Just bring something to me. He told me to come down. Told me to go down here to Blue Ivory. I didn't know how I knew. I'm pretty sure I found out some way, but somehow I knew that they were on set at Blue Ivory. So I dressed the part like I was an actor, how actors dress. Found my way on set, snuck down to the director's village where Benny Boom and the rest of the cast was, the rest of the crew was sitting. And I remember Benny Boom from All Eyes on Me, and he directed my scene. And when I seen him, I used him as the scapegoat, like, okay, cool, Benny Boom. Hey, what's up, Benny? How you doing, man? Yeah, I just came to check it out. Yeah. Then I just sat in the corner after that. But just being around the inspiring energy and the motivation and that all that creativity that they was doing at the time, It was just enlightening. It was just enlightening me. So the producer came over, and they was like, yo, what are you doing here? Who are you? Like, what are you doing? I was just like, well, all right, John. His name was John Bryant. I was like, to be honest, like, I was on my mom's couch. I was depressed. Like, I'm just thinking about just, like, giving up on everything. So he was just like, yo, what's your name, man? What do you do? I said, I'm an actor. I just graduated from school, which is right behind Blue Ivy. Blue Ivy's like right down the block. So he was like, you know what? Give me your name, give me your number, give me your agency. I'll give you a shot. I didn't think he was gonna give me a shot, but a year later, he really did give me a shot, and I just took real advantage of it, went on set, did my job. Next thing I know, Irv Gotti's running out of directors. He's like, hold on, I need a picture. This kid is crazy. This kid is, oh, nah, stopping it. Ball alert, blasted it all over. So it was a real good journey so far. This far, it's been good, yeah.
When y'all gonna start making more music together?
Let's get that cream, son.
Yeah, wherever I go, you coming with me. Together, we stronger that way. The Rizzo, the Jizzo, old dirty bastard, especially that make more on the chef. Ghostface killer.
M-E-T-H-O-D. We make
may be from separate hoods, but we gotta stick together.
So that was a snippet of your series that mm-hmm. we're about to get into, Wu-Tang and American Saga. Mm-hmm. You're starring again as GZA. How did that come to you? How did that role come to you?
One day I was on Instagram just scrolling, and I seen Brian Grazer from Imagine. I seen him post a picture of a script, and it said Wu-Tang and American Saga. Now, I'm from Staten Island, New York. I'm from where they're from. So once I seen that and it was a script, I was like, oh, no, I have no. There's no way this. I already knew in my mind. I was psyching my mind out to tell, like, there's no way I'm not going to be a part of it. There's no way. So I was like, I put it up. I put the script up. I took it off his page, put it on my page. I said, Lord, this is your will. I'm just a 20, whatever. I don't know. I was 27 at the time. I was just a 27-year-old kid trying to, you know what I mean, represent for my city. No, this was 2018, whatever my caption said. But I put it up. I put it out into the energy already as if I had it. So emailed the casting, Kim Coleman, and the people from casting. Was like, yo, I'm from Staten Island. I would like a shot at anything I could do for Wu-Tang American Saga. They gave me a shot. Boom, I did the audition. They had called me back. But before they called me back, I had went and did my own campaign. I made an Instagram video. But it was really shot of an interview that GZA did with the Klan. And one of his, I did a music video as well. So I did half an interview and half a music video of the character I wanted to portray. And I just put it out there. My whole city then shared it, reposted it, sent it to the gods, Wu-Tang Klan, the god body. But sent it to all of them, and it just went viral. So they was just tagging everybody. Next thing you know, RZA wanted to meet this kid. So I get a call like, yo, RZA said, be at this address on Staten Island in 15 minutes. Like, but I had wound up packing my stuff because I already knew in my mind, like, yo, I know you're going to bless me with it. I didn't know, but I felt like I knew. So I had my stuff in my car for driving around for like months waiting for this call because I just knew it was coming. So I was like, at the end, it was a week before I seen that they were about to start shooting in a week. So I was like, you know what? I'm driving to New York. I just drove to New York with my stuff in my bag, was on my mom's couch for about 2, 3, 4 days. And next thing you know, I get a call saying, yo, come up to set. RZA wants to meet you. Got up to set. Next thing you know, he was just like, yo, bong, bong. I was like, I started spitting my own cash rules, everything around me, lyrics. And he turned around to the crew and said, yo, everybody meet Gary. And then everybody just started clapping. And it's been history from there, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
It was a whole manifestation process, energies. I changed, this really, getting this role really changed my life and let me see a different side of life. Our energy and our melanin, the power that we have is very powerful. It's very real.
Wu-Tang and American Saga airs on
September 4th, Wednesday. Next Wednesday, Wu-Tang on Hulu. Let's get it. It's lit.
All right, John L. Young, thank you so much for being a guest.
Thank you, Ray.
Well, that'll do it for this weekend's show. I'd like to thank all of my special guests, Camila Forbes, David Oyelowo, Jacob Estes, and John L. Young. I'd also like to thank my engineer, Jami Wellman, and you. Please join us next Saturday, September 7th, for another exciting edition of Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry. Happy Saturday, Atlanta.
If you like today's show, please hit us up at WCLK.com. We'd love to hear from you.
Upfront, Inside Atlanta's Entertainment Industry has been brought to you by Atlanta's Jazz Station, 91.9 FM, WCLK, an NPR member-supported station.